I had a vision this week the Lord wants me to share with you. I know you can hear me. This is for the recording. You can't. First, I want to just... I was going to leave off my worship as I walked into the presence of the Lord, but He told me to go ahead and share that too and let you close your eyes and pray this prayer in your heart too as we enter in. Lord, I'm coming to rest before You, to meet with You, to worship You. It's so easy to be distracted, and I just want to be near You, to know You, to enjoy Your presence. God, I want to be one with You, to wait on You, to rest with You. Jesus, Jesus, I love You. You are so holy. You are so good. Good is such a weak word to describe how pure You are. Your heart is so kind, so gentle and patient. Your way of believing in someone and faithfully doing whatever it takes to bring them to repentance is amazing. I cannot do it, but I want You to live in me. I want to love like You do. I'm not even able to comprehend the way You think or feel, but when You flow through me, I feel like a different person, alive, hopeful, loving, and patient. I love Your presence. Lord, I used to walk the beach with You or our property at 79th Street. Could we walk together today? You choose the place. I see a trail entering into the woods, and I feel a breeze drawing me. It's like a guiding breeze, like a whisper in the wind calling me. God, You're so creative, so fresh and new. You are an adventure. I enter the woods and I walk slowly down the trail. I'm not trying to see anything or know anything, just walking and feeling the breeze. I smell the fresh air, but it reminds me of an odor that I have smelled in church a few times lately. I ask the Lord what it was and why I smelled it. And again, I know that it is the smell of death. The Lord speaks, "Your enemy is seeking you out. He wants a fight. Will you give him one?" "I don't know, Lord, will I?" "Only if You say, I will do whatever You want to do through me. I know that I cannot fight Him, but You can. Whatever You say, whatever You do, I accept. I just came here to be with You, to soak in You. Do You really want me to think about the enemy right now?" "Just walk with me. Just look around as we walk and see what I will show you." Suddenly I saw a Venus flytrap. In fact, there were several of them in the field. They seemed to be hiding among other plants. I wondered if they were evil and like ready to bite and devour. But the Lord said, "Look closer." So I walked up to one and knelt down by it, not too close. I just waited and watched. The head of the plant seemed to turn toward me, as if to look at me. It smiled. It seemed nice. Then a huge fly appeared above my head. It was charging at me viciously. I don't remember ever being afraid of a fly before. But suddenly I realized how dirty, how corrupt and vile they are. They eat garbage and dung. They thrive on the scum of humans. Their nourishment is so vile that they just hang around and wait for human refuse. Then they light upon it and feast as if it were a delicacy. Their eyes are enlarged. They look only for trash. They hang around every house, every picnic, every human, waiting, lurking. I think they're worse than spiders. Spiders spin a web and hope to trap you if you come their way and fall into their trap. But these flies chase you. They're aggressive. What do they represent in the spirit realm, Lord? They're so common that we ignore them. We don't worry about them. The Lord spoke. These little enemies will sneak up on a person. Alone, they do seem harmless. But when a person is dead spiritually, they come in swarms to feast on the death. They love corruption. When you see or smell them, you know that death is present. He's waiting for His feast. He may already be feasting on someone's heart and mind and soul. If the person is dead in any way, these flies of death will be present. You must come against them. Rescue that part that has died. Revive it. Bring new life to the person. You are fighting an inner death now. Later, we will face physical death. If the inner death is defeated, it makes it much harder for physical death to keep its hold. Lord, how do I recognize and identify? How do I know what to pray about? The Lord said, it will be more than a silent prayer that will defeat this kind. Ask me for the identity in the process. Ask me for strategy. Each one will be a unique battle. This is a new training process. Walk through it as I lead. Listen, smell, listen, obey. Don't question and doubt. I do have grace for you and patience in the training season. I'm very patient, very tolerant. Don't give up. We will win. Follow my leading. Now get up from your knees and continue down the trail to the waterfall. There you'll find a rock to sit upon, and I will meet you there in another form. I walked down the trail slowly, enjoying the scenery, yet my heart was set on the waterfall. Then I saw it. I glanced around for the rock, and I knew when I saw the right one. I don't know how I knew. It just stood out. It separated itself, and it revealed that it was for me. It was sort of like it was alive inside, and I felt the life in it. It didn't glow. I just felt some flow from it. It invited me. I walked over to it, walked around it, to decide exactly where to sit. Then I saw a certain spot, flat, set back a little. It was sort of like a chair formed in it. I knew. I rested in the cove, and it seemed like a recliner to me. It fit me perfectly, and I knew God had shaped it for me. I faced the waterfall, and I enjoyed the sunshine reflecting and bouncing in the waters below. I felt the anointing in the waters, so peaceful, so beautiful, so refreshing. I felt safe. Then I saw a red bird flying in circles above the waterfall. Suddenly, five bluebirds came from behind the waters, over and above, then down together, forming a V. They came near the bottom, then rose up and toward me. Then they separated and flew over my head and off in many directions. Later, the Lord identified himself as the red bird, Jesus, the cornerstone, covering everything. The five bluebirds blew for safety, the fivefold ministry, forming a team in perfect unity and covering with that safety. Then the yellow birds came, canaries. They came into the scene from the left and from the right. Then they flew together in the middle. They stopped and hovered as if talking to each other. Two straight lines, one from the west, one from the east, then face to face. There were about 20 on each side. It was a great meeting of song, of worship. Songs from the past, worship from the future, meeting and blending into the most unusual song I ever heard. Yet I didn't hear it. I do not hear it. I only know it. Why, Lord? He answered, it has not yet been written and delivered to earth. It is still in the heavens, waiting to be released to the worshipers. It will come soon. Pray for it. And I do pray for it, Lord. Please release it. Let it come. Worship of heaven, come to earth. Come, Son of God, come to us. Come, new worship, come to Burning Bush. Come to our ministers, come to our ears. Come to our hearts, come to our souls. Come to our spirits. Come, renew us. Come, draw us to God. Draw us to Jesus. I glanced at the waterfall, and I caught a glimpse of a face in the waters. I knew it was Jesus. He had been watching me, but when I saw his face, he drew back into the waters to hide. Why do you hide from me, Lord? He answered, I'm protecting you, Shia. You cannot look on me and live. But my glory remains in the waters. Look, see the glow? The waters seemed alive, and they did glow and sparkle like bouncing life. Every glitter that twinkled in my eyes seemed to impart life into me, joy, laughter. I heard the words in the distance, renew, 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 renew. Again and again I heard the words. The words were full of life to renew the life in me. I don't want to enter into you, Lord, through worry or effort or stress or begging. I just want to enter through the waterfall. Will you part it open and let me come in? What if it kills you? He asked. I don't care. The Lord said, I do care. I will open it, but I will shield you. Come. The waters opened and my spirit left me. I felt myself drawn in through the water. I felt them around me, rushing hard and fast, roaring like the voice of many waters. I smiled at the thought of it. The Lord knows I want to hear the voice of many waters. It was a slow transition. I rested in it. I felt waters wash my hearing, my eyes, my lips, my body. No, not my body. It was still on the rocks. It was a washing of my spirit, my heart, my feet. I stopped in the midst as waters encircled my feet and became like fingers that washed and washed my feet, my toes, my ankles, my heels, over and over, around and around, like a massage of water. It filled me with peace, and I knew it had prepared me to walk someplace with God. That was the best of it. So I waited patiently. I wanted to be complete. Suddenly, the water sprung up from my feet like a fountain, up my body to my head. The fingers began washing my hair. They created bubbles that flowed down my face, flowed down my back. The bubbles increased until I stood in a cloud of them, covered in them, surrounded by them. I knew they were my shield to take me before God and shelter me from the brightness of His glory, the shining goodness that no man could look upon. Take me, Lord, take me to Him, bubbles. Cloud of bubbles began to move slowly through the waterfall to the back, slowly, slowly, and peacefully. I came out the back of the falls, and I could not see because the bubbles blinded me. Yet I knew they placed me on a shallow cave, like a door opening on a ledge. I could see colors through the bubbles, like an approaching rainbow of color, getting closer and closer to me. The brightness increased, and the colors were glorious. I knew that it was God. My God was coming near me in a new and wonderful way. I felt the warmth of love. I felt embraced. My eyes seemed to melt with tears that did not flow out. I groaned and I felt my body melt into Him. I was so weak, so relaxed, so full of His love. My head turned to the left. I moved forward into Him, closer, 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 as I melted into Him, into His chest, into His heart. I was inside of His heart. My ear could hear it. I could hear the heart of God beating, big, heavy, deep beats, powerful beats, creative beats, every beat full of life. They imparted life, power, light. They beat into my heart slowly. It was as if I could not breathe until they would beat again. There would be a large, deep thump. And then it was like I held my breath until it would thump again. I felt I'd never breathe again if I did not feel His heartbeat. I lived only to feel His heartbeat. I lived for the next beat. The next beat was my life. I must feel it. I would receive it. I would wait. And then it would beat again. I would melt until it would beat again. It was my whole purpose just to wait for the heart of God to beat again in me. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I'm waiting. You are my life. Your heart is my heart. As I waited, my eyes filled with visions of purple, and I was drawn deeper and deeper into God. My body leaned forward, and I felt myself lifting from the ledge. He's taking me. He's taking me. But where? I don't know and I don't care. Just take me. I feel I'm floating through the air in my bubble. I rest in the Lord. I rest while He carries me. My head feels as though it's on a pillow of purple, and I'm asleep while we travel. It was a period of silence and waiting. I just kept telling Him, I love you. I love you. I love you. I knew that we had moved through caves inside of the rocks. We were moving right through rock as if it were air. We did not move in a straight line. We seemed to follow lines. The patterns were like a trail. There were messages hidden in the lines and patterns, but I could not know them. I felt that God invited me to read one. Suddenly it was before my eyes. It was colors and patterns and lines. I had no idea what they meant. I looked and I waited. There were orange lines swirling in circles. There were rust colors, green lines, blue, a touch of red, sparkles of silver and gold, copper, bronze, lead, grays and browns, white, gray again, white again, dusty speckles of purple. The secret of the rocks is here, words spoken so long ago and recorded in these rocks. Words of God spoken, prophecies for today and for the future, but I cannot hear them. The Lord put a device to my ear to help me. I could hear them saying quietly, "He's coming, he's coming. Do you see him yet? He's coming." Are they words of humans or rocks, Lord? Are they rocks that are still waiting to call out? Did they see you come before? Do they see you coming again? I don't know. The Lord says, stop thinking and just listen. So I rest and listen again. For a moment I wonder, am I distracted? I wanted to just see him. Are the rocks distracting me? But he assures me that is what he wants to do. So I rest and I wait. God reaches over and turns up the volume on the device in my ear, and the rocks begin to shout, "He is coming! I do see him coming! He's here now! Praise his holy name! The God of the whole earth has come! It's time! Prepare the way!" I become aware of a huge black mountain. It's moving toward us, and it's full only of black rocks. They, too, are shouting out from another location, but I can hear them. They're announcing the coming of their king, the enemy. They are excited. They yell, "He is here! He has come!" The message sounds the same, but it's the announcing of the enemy. I see the two mountains face each other. The big black mountain is to the right. God's glorious mountain of many colors is on the left. They face each other and they roar. They roar so loud that I begin to cry. It's too loud. It's too, I don't know. It's breaking my heart deeply and I want to weep. What is this pain, God? Why do I ache in my heart? I'm overwhelmed with grieving. The mountains are facing off for the war of God against evil. He's going to destroy the black mountain. He's going to win. Why then is my heart breaking? And then I see it. The black mountain is full of people. So full of people. They're people that God loves very much. He does not want to destroy them. But they won't come out of the mountain and be saved. They love the mountain and the evil leader. They've made their choice, and they will be destroyed with him. But the big heart of God is so grieved for them. His agony is unbearable, and I'm only slightly feeling it. I know it is more than a human could bear. God is weeping. He's weeping so deeply that I feel the shaking in the rocks around me. He is asking me if I will contain only a small amount of his pain for these lost people. I will contain all I can hold. Oh, my wonderful God, share your pain with me, as much as you know I can hold. Transform my heart with your grief. I will accept it because it's part of your awesome goodness. I want to touch your pain. I want to love your people. I want to pursue them with your love. The Lord seems at peace now. He wipes his tears. Oh, wow. That hit my spirit so deeply, to see God wipe his tears as he gently smiled at me. It was like I had relieved a little of his pain. It caused my own weeping again. Then he reached out and he wiped my tears and said, "My tears will be your tears. Thank you for letting me share them. This is the purpose of your visit here to the mountain. I will share my heart and my grief for the lost with you." He touched my heart and said, "Go now, go now." He kissed me, and I was home. I sat in wonder and took a deep breath. I could not move. This morning, in my office while I was praying, the Lord led me to read John 13. Sometimes it's really good you have a lousy memory like me, because when he tells me to go somewhere and read, I have no idea what it says. I never remember the address of anything. And he took me to the verse that said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And he reminded me how he washed my feet in the waterfall. "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." And he said, "Take the words I gave you in the mountain and give them to the church. And any who will receive them, any who will carry some of the agony of my heart for the lost, I will share my heart with them."
Thank you. you talk about blind ones. And I said, oh, what was it like? And they said, well, there's all the rich people in town. And we gathered, and the pastorette gave her a little talk, but she never opened the Bible or got us to open the Bible. And then we all stood around after the church was like done. We would all stand around somebody's pool, you know, one of the pools, and we would all drink and talk about how we ought to help take care of the poor. And I thought, that's church? And he said, he came there and he was just like, he was starving. They were born again, but they weren't in a good show of religion. They were in something. I don't know what they were, but they wanted out of it. But they had a hard time coming. Because they started getting persecution because they were coming to our church. And people started giving them a hard time, and they were having a hard time with that because they said, everybody's not thinking good of us. I said, I'm sorry, look what they did to Jesus. What do you think you're going to do with the followers? They were so used to being accepted that everybody pat them on the back in their comfort zone was more important than God. But when they came there, it's like, oh, like water to a thirsty soul. But then they couldn't keep coming.